I have a bizarre topic. Real bizarre topic. Topic of Mamzerus.
That's a personal issue.
Mamzerus. What does Mamzerus have to do with Parshas Vayishlach? Parshas Vayishlach. Oh, okay, let's. Amalek. Let's describe this, the Yichus of Amalek. Rashi at the end of Parshas Vayishlach tells about the birth of Amalek. The Timna Hoysa Filegesh. Who was the mother of Amalek? So it says here, Simna Hoysa Filegesh Le'Eliphaz. She was the Pilegesh of Eliphaz. Eliphaz was the son of Esav. Ben Esav, Vateled Le'Eliphaz Es Amalek. This week's parasha, the birth of Bereishis Goyim Amalek, our arch enemy, the Tsaris of Gans Klal Yisrael, of the whole world, the nation that denies the existence or rebels openly against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has brought the world incredible Tsaris.
So Amalek was Esav's grandson.
Correct. Amalek is Esav's grandson. Esav, the nation that has to be obliterated with no ands, if, and buts. We can relate to Esav like we can relate to ISIS. Okay, many feel if you've seen some of the videos, if you can be brave enough to see some of the videos of ISIS, of how they behead people. I saw a clip of how they literally burn people to death. They tied them upside down. They showed bits and pieces. It's just unbelievable, the wickedness dealing with people that you can't even call them people. And this is Amalek, and Amalek was the grandson of Esau. First of all, how do you have such a person that comes into this world that is so cruel? Well, where does it come from? So Rashi really tells us the answer. So first he goes on further over here. He quotes that there's a contradiction. Okay, after a long story, I'm not going to go into the whole Yichus, but basically, if you study this Rashi, it comes out that Timna was really the son of Esav. Esav did something very, very horrible. He was born on an Eshes Ish, the wife of Seir. Okay, one of the people mentioned in the sixth parsha was an individual whose name was Seir, the nation of Har Seir. The founder of Seir was married, had a whole collection of children. You look in the charts in the back of the Chumash, it shows you all of his children. They're all listed, enumerated in this week's parasha at the end. And Esav had a relationship with the wife, with an Eshes Ish. Now, according to Jewish law, if a man has a child with a married woman, the child is a mamzer. So Timna was the product of an adulterous relationship. Let's focus on it from the Torah perspective. From a Torah perspective, Esav committed one of the worst crimes a man can commit, had a relationship with an Eshes Ish, and fathered a child called Timna. So Timna was basically a mamzeres, right? Because she came from an Eshes Ish, and she was the child of Esav. Esav then took her as a wife, not as a wife, but as a pilegesh. He lived with her continuously.
Timna.
So that's incest with Timna. So that's incest. That's incest. He's living with now. And then from that relationship, he fathered a child called Amalek. So if a person to live with his own daughter and a child that's produced from that union is also a mamzer. So basically, Esav is a double mamzer.
Amalek
is a double mamzer. Timna, the mother, is a mamzeres, and she had a relationship with her father, Esav. Esav was the with her father. Esav took her as a pilegesh and had Amalek. So Amalek is a double mamzer. In addition to being a double mamzer, it's also that it was a marriage. A pilegesh is a very ugly type of marriage. A pilegesh is a woman that's just miyuchet for znus. A woman, a wife, a mistress. A wife, at least there's a relationship. You're building something. You're married to a woman, there's a relationship. You're developing a relationship with a woman, so you have a child. It's not out of wedlock. When a man has the pilegish, it basically means you're not good enough, and I shall be, and just you're there to satisfy my taiva. You're there to satisfy my taiva. So in addition to Amalek being a product of a double mamzer, he's also a product of a union that's pure taiva. And it's a disgusting type of relationship. How could it be that a person takes his own daughter and designates her as a pilegish, something that he should be ashamed of? Esav had no shame to take his own daughter and to designate her as a pilegish to satisfy his own taivas on a continual basis? It's just mind-boggling. So there are basically three strikes against Amalek. Double mamzer, one mamzer from adultery, a second layer of mamzerus from incest, and a third layer of disgust is that this is a woman that's been designated for the purposes of taiva, not for the purposes of marriage. Okay, so this is the story of Amalek. So how does that take us to this topic? I have here in an old RJJ journal. This article was published in the year 1994 by Rabbi, make sure I'm saying his name correctly, Daniel Katz. Make sure I'm saying it correctly. One moment. By Rabbi David Katz. Okay, Rabbi David Katz in the year 1994. And the topic is the Mamzer and the Shifra. What is the question? After the Holocaust, it wasn't so uncommon to have a situation where women thought that their husbands died in the Holocaust, and they remarried, and then many years later, by chance, by fate, they happened to discover that their husband was still alive. And that presented the horror of realizing that they married Shalai Kedin, they were still an Eshes Ish, and the children from the... And the children from the second marriage are halachically mamzer. So this was an occurrence that happened not so infrequently after the Holocaust. Today, unfortunately, we don't hear about it in the newspapers, but these stories happen as well, especially among people that are not fully religious. They're religious, they have a religious ceremony. A parent, a mother, a father insists that they get married, Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, and then the parents disappear, the parents are no longer living, and the children, they go off the derech, and they don't get a halachic divorce, and they remarry. And then years later, one of their children, a chozer b'shuva, then they realize that they're the product of a second marriage, and the first marriage was not terminated through a kosher get. And when the marriage was done, when the marriage was maybe done, possibly through a kosher marriage. So there are cases, it's not so uncommon, the way he presents it, you can imagine what's going on in America with the 70% of intermarriage and a very great degree of ignorance, where there are situations where people are choyze b'shuv and they realize that they may indeed be true mamzerin. Problem is, what are these people to do? If they want to marry, are they allowed to marry? And what will be the status of their children? So the halacha is a mamzer is not allowed to marry a regular Yisrael. The shidduchim prospects for a mamzer and a mamzeres are severely, severely limited. There's very few people. Who are they going to marry? Whoever they're going to marry, their children will be mamzer. No regular person is going to want to marry a mamzer, because if any one of the two partners, if the father or the mother is a mamzer, the law automatically is, the halacha is that the child is a mamzer. So what are they to do? What? They're mamzer. Now, what in the ultimate? So maybe the solution is they can marry a geyoris. Let's discuss the case. We have a male mamzer. So what would be the halacha if he were to marry a geyoris? It doesn't help. It does not help. If he marries a mamzer, marries a geyoris, the child is still a mamzer.
Every generation.
Then you start again. So the child is a mamzer. So now what is the mamzer going to do? He'll have to go marry also geyoris. So you're always going to have, you're never going to be able to break away. Nothing, exactly. Not accomplishing anything by marrying. So it's going to be a continued. Mamzer is not going to be able to marry a regular Yisrael, because the child's going to be a mamzer. And even if the child were to marry, the mamzer were to marry a goy, that converted is also going to be a mamzer. So basically, what is the solution? How can a person... What?
Goy then converts?
What did you just suggest? That he should go and marry a goy. A mamzer? Very good solution. A mamzer should go and live with a guy. There should not be any kiddushin. Should have a secular marriage, maybe a civil marriage. You're committed to this guy, and the child will not have the status by a guy. If you marry a guy, so the follows the mother. If the man is a mamzer and the father and the mother is a guy, so the child is not Jewish, and you'll convince the child. You'll raise the child as a Jew, and when the child is bar mitzvah, you'll convince the neighbor. This is a beautiful thing. So therefore, a person will be able to be metaher, to purify his seed by marrying a guy without a kiddushin, without marrying the person. That seems to be a very good solution. A person should have children that are Jewish. You want to leave over something in this world. You want to leave over a biological child. You have to take note that you're not really related in this situation. You're not related to the biological child, according to halacha. Ger shen iskayer, ki katan shen noiladami. If a person is going to live with a non-Jew and father a child, and the child converts, theoretically, in the Ikar HaDin, you're not related to that child. If you have a daughter, in the Torah, the father is allowed to marry his daughter, according to halacha. Now, the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to do that. The Rabbanan did not allow a person to marry his daughter if she's biologically, in the Torah. The Rabbanan, it is usur. But theoretically, at least, you're leaving over a biological child, which is Jewish. So now here's a side discussion. Is there really any benefit in doing that? What's the purpose? If you're a religious person, the reason why you want to have children, you want to leave over people in this world that are Shomer Torah Mitzvos. So you want to have. Is there any benefit to leaving over a biological child that you're not related to? So the answer, he has a side discussion there by David Katz, and yes, he brings Raya Shem Halacha that there is a very great benefit for a person to leave over children in this world, even though in this situation he's not halachically related to them. It's still called a child. He brings a very interesting Raya from a Gemara. The Gemara says that if a guy is a guy with his entire family, a guy has the children, the Megayer, the children are also Jewish. And all the details, you have to go through all the details. And the Gemara there says because a child, even a non-Jewish child, wants to fulfill the will of his biological father. A non-Jewish child, a biological child, has a connection to fulfill the will of his biological father. Okay, well, it's complicated, Raya, but the point is there is an advantage to leaving over in this world a biological child that is Jewish, even if in halacha you're not related to the child. So the solution that was presented is a very good solution. It would appear on paper to be a very good solution. A person who's a mamzer should live with a non-Jewish woman, father children. Those children will follow the mother. They're not Jewish, and when they become, they should be raised as Torah Jews. And when they become bar mitzvah, they become older. They should be convinced, persuaded to convert. And now the person will leave this world. He is a mamzer, but his children are gerim, and gerim are basically allowed to marry whoever they want. A ger can marry a yisrael, a levi, even a kohen. A ger can marry even a ger can marry even a kohenes. Only a guy, a ger. Cannot marry a goy, a gyaris. So basically, it is a perfect solution. Now, what is the problem with the solution? The problem is you're not allowed to tell a person who is a mamzer to go marry a shiksa, not to live with a shiksa. You can't marry a goy. That is a prohibition of lo yihye kodesh. To live with a woman out of the framework of marriage is a prohibition, let's say in the Torah, of being a kodesh, a person designated for zunus. So this is not a viable solution to tell a person to marry a non-Jewish woman.
That's not solution. While she is pregnant.
When did he marry her?
He didn't marry her.
No, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to have a relationship, have a bia with a non-Jewish woman. Period. After the fact. Okay, that's after the fact. Okay, but this is a person who's a mamzer, he's an erlich person. He comes to the Beis Din and he says to the Beis Din, I'm a mamzer, and it's not my fault. I want to be able to marry, have children, and my children should be accepted in the Klal Yisrael. I don't want them to suffer from the ultimate shidduch crisis. What should I do? Beis Din cannot, what? adapt, but he wants children. He wants biological children. You can't. You'll say, but halacha. He proves that's the thing. He proves that there isn't any to have biological children in this world, even though you halachically you're not related. So, what is the best thing to say to a person? So, the answer. This is a gemara. It's a gemara in. I forgot where the Gemara is. It's a opinion of a Ritarfin. A Ritarfin says, I have a solution in Masechta Kiddushin on Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph. Rabbi Tarfin Omer, here is the solution. Yecholim Mamzerin Litaher Ketzad Mamzer Shenosa Shifcha Havlad Eved Shichroroi Nimsa Habein Ben Chorin. This is Sugi in Masechta Kiddushin. It provides the solution. What's the solution? Now let's talk about it theoretically, and then let's talk about the practical approach to doing it in Bizman Azeh. So we're going to talk about this. This is the whole. This is the main thrust of this article. Can it be done Bizman Azeh? The solution is a mamzer is permitted to marry a shifcha kenanis. A shifcha kenanis is somewhere in the middle. On the one hand, she is a non-Jew. She's non-Jew. She's not Jewish. But on the other hand, she's chayiv in mitzvahs ke'isha. So here is the solution. A man goes to a woman, and he says, he's a mamzer. He goes to a non-Jewish woman, he says, I'm going to marry you, but I want to first purchase you as my slave. I want to buy you, I want you to be my slave. Will you please sell yourself to me as a slave? Which means I can force you to do labor. I can whip you. I can torture you. Like a wife. Like when you would do to me. Let's rephrase it. Like when if we were the regular, when you would do to me, I'm gonna do to you. So she says yes. She says yes. I'm selling myself to you as a slave. Now, so what? So what? She's still. Then just because you sell yourself as a slave does not make the person into a Jew. Next, you purchase her with a document in court, in law, you have to reel, and then you tell, okay, now you're going to go to mikvah, and you're going to immerse in the mikvah with the kavana that you're going to observe the mitzvahs of an isha. All loisah says, and every mitzvah says, shazman groma, you will, that's not zman groma, you will observe. That does not mean she's Jewish. That's a very important point. Just because a person converts, a person is mekabel and an eved, there are two levels of a slave. There's an eved kanani. Yes. You must go to mikvah with the kavona to be mekabel, to observe the mitzvahs. Going to mikvah with the kavona to be mekabel the mitzvahs does not make you into a Jew. If you were a Jew at that point in time, then this woman not allowed to marry her. But at least she's an eved, she's a shifcha kenanis, and she has gone to mikvah with the kavona to be mekabel the mitzvahs. Now the halacha allows the master, to marry his shifcha kenanis. This is permitted. He's a mamzer, is now a halacha allows, because since she is went to mikvah with the kavod and mekabel the mitzvos, he is allowed to marry her. That's halacha. Now they will have.
In the beginning, she knows that this is the plan?
Yes, he tells her this. She's madly in love with him, she'll do anything to marry him. I will sell myself, number one, to you as a slave. I'm not Jewish. After I sell myself, I'll go through the motions. I will observe the mitzvahs, the mitzvah say, like the laws of a shifcha kenanis who is mekabel upon herself to do this through going to mikvah. Now they get married. Now they have children. The children that she produces, that she brings forth, are slaves. Are avodim kenanim. They're not Jews. They're avodim kenanim because she's not a full-fledged Jewess. She's a shivcha kenanis. They're avodim kenanim. Then the father says, I'm going to free you as a bar mitzvah present. I'm going to free you. You're going to be in, I'm going to free you. I'm going to write you a shtar shichur, which has to be written with cloth, like a get. It's a serious thing. It has to be written. I'm going to free you. And now an eved kenani, that's not so simple. How are you allowed to free your slave? But if it's for the ultimate purpose of being a kaim mitzvah, it's also a very big struggle, but it's acceptable. In order for a person to leave over in this world, world an heir that is a biological child that's Jewish. I'm a mamzer. I want to live over someone in this world that's going to be my child, that's at least Jewish, biological child that's Jewish, and it's accepted. And he can now, this Rav Tarfon says, and he will then free this Eved Kenani. This is the solution that Rav Tarfon gives in the Gemara for a mamzer to be mitar himself. And what?
Only a male.
Only a male. A female, can a female mamzer, can she, maybe, I mean, can this discuss? Let's.
What about the children?
So children are avodim kenanim. The children are avodim kenanim, and then he will free them when they become, he'll free them, and the law is that when you free an eved kenani, he becomes a ger, has the same status as a ger. This is the solution that is given by Rabbi Tarfon. Now, as you can imagine, throughout history, there have been many situations where, and not only after the Holocaust, there were many cases like this because of what happened, but throughout history, this.
Even though the church came at the end of Jews having non-Jewish
things. Yeah.
Because many times they got into a relationship and they were afraid they were going to take this guy to make her into Jew.
So therefore what?
They don't, and now the law, they made a crime
to take a non-Jewish clean lady. Okay. So this is, now here is the problem. The problem, this is touches upon, this sugya. Now by the way, this sugya, this, the problem is that slavery in the modern world has been abolished. According to what he writes here, this is the issue, there is no place in the world today that on the books, officially, slavery is legal.
Saudi Arabia.
Even in Saudi Arabia, even in Africa, it's not legal. Officially, is it done? It certainly is done. No one is denying that in Saudi Arabia there are slaves, and in Africa there are slaves. And the laws that the government will not enforce under any condition, but for the purpose of being a member of the United Nations, of rights, civil rights, and laws of decency, it's not considered legal anywhere in the world today. So here is the very big issue. According to Rama writes that if you have a situation in law, Dina de Malchusa Dina, this really touches upon Dina de Malchusa Dina, where the government says it is illegal to own a slave, can you say that halacha allows me, I'll do what I want according to halacha, and halacha will live in its own world? In other words, people throughout the generations, at least the last 400 or 500 years, wanted to do exactly this. They were advised, they made an attempt, let me go date, I'll go online to a non-Jewish online dating site and pick up a non-Jewish girl, I'll convince her to love me to the degree where she'll be willing to sell herself to me as a slave, she'll then go to mikvah, mimkabel the mitzvos, we'll have children, and years later I'll free the children, I'll free her, and they'll become full-fledged Jews. The only problem is, when she sells herself to me as a slave, that is illegal according to international law. State law, federal law, international law, it is illegal. It is not recognized. So she's not really, according to secular law, my slave. If she's not my slave in Dina de Malchus Dina, does Halacha acknowledge that she is my slave? If she's not my slave, then her going to mikvah is nonsense. It's going for a dip in the bath. So it touches upon that as well. That's why today, 99.9% of the mechiris that are done today with Muhammad's are recognized. There's nothing that's not, no reason why the shtar mechira is not legal according to secular law. Absolutely, it's all legal according to secular law. Going back Shiloh years ago, there are certain had to have a stamp. You have in a document that has to have an official stamp of the government. Didn't have an official stamp. Even that, there are many poskim that say that the government would recognize it. You're right. You're touching upon something which is central to many matters of halacha. But certainly, when it comes to something so sensitive as this, then what's the real problem? Because here, if it's not recognized according to halacha that she is a slave, and therefore the tefillah and the mikvah is nonsense, this man is living with a goy. When he has relations with her, he's being over the iser deraisa lo yihye kodesh. He is a mamzer, and he's being ba on a Goya. It's an Isser de Araisa. If she was a real Shifcha Kenanis according to Halacha, he's doing absolutely nothing wrong, and the children that he will have from her will be Avodim Kenanim, and hopefully they'll be Jews. So here is the big dilemma. The Ramah says that if Dina de Malchusa, Dina, you're not a slave, then Halacha also will stand by the Dina de Malchusa, Dina, you cannot be a slave. It has to be recognized legally in secular law that you're a slave in order to become an Eved Kenani. The Shach disagrees. The Shach holds that Hay Lechud v'Hay Lechud. The government can say what it wants, but you can do what you want behind the scenes and will be recognized in Halacha. The Chazon Ish says that the leniency of the Shach is a tzorich in Gadol. The Shach's logic is incorrect. The Chazon Ish says we never heard, and therefore the Chazon Ish says the Iker is like the Ramon, it cannot be done. Yeah.
It's also true that many religious marriages in America are not legal because they don't follow through with licenses and all the other procedures, and therefore they are not recognized by say, for example, with divorce laws and
You're talking about an epidemic that goes on in the yeshiva world where people do not get married legally. They just get married kedas in order that the mother can be a single mother and is entitled to get benefits from the government, and for insurance reasons, in order to be on the policy of this one's parent, that one's parents. So you're touching upon dvarim ha'aymdin biruma yishalayla. You're 100% correct.
According to the Dina Malchus of New York,
yeah.
If you have a religious wedding, must have a license sign.
You must.
Rabbi is not allowed to conduct a religious.
Okay, we are just focusing on. Let's start for the few moments we have left. We only have 5 minutes. I want to finish up. We only have 5 minutes. I just want to focus on this one prime, because here we're dealing with something that's very, very serious. We're dealing with being the Tahir Mamzer. Now, to make a long story short, here's a very interesting. Now, he goes through all the sources, a lot of stuff on this, but there is such a thing as man hazeh in the halach and the gemara as being a slave, where you don't have to work. What is the problem with slavery in international law in this country? Is that you can't force a person to serve you? But can you? But if the government, the business government says, "Well, I own you." But there's nothing you can do. I can't force you to do anything for me. What would the government say about such a thing in America? I legally own you. You're mine. You're my property. But I cannot force you to do anything on my behalf. Is that a violation of the laws of slavery in the international world? Maybe yes, maybe not. Because now does such a thing exist in halacha? It's a very big nafim, because again, people are very desperate to be mitar mamzer. This is not a joke. This is very serious things. People who nagea them, it's very serious. So the Gemara indeed talks about this. The Gemara talks about such a situation presents. I can't find all the pages now. That according to halacha, there is a situation in halacha where you can be halachically a slave, but the master has no rights to force the person to do labor for him. Perhaps that can change the equation where today it can be done. Halacha l'maisa, no poisek. There was one poisek. I forgot who. One of the major poskim says that he wants to be matir, that people should do this with Zman HaZeh because there are so many different reasons to be lenient. You have the Shach, and you have many, many factors. He puts together a whole equation, but he's only going to be matir if he can find another few Rabbanim that will go along with him. And the vast majority of the Gedolim strongly objected. They took the position, the hard line of the Ramah, that says that since today, in modern times, already for the last 200-300 years, you know, America was from the later countries that abolished slavery. The place in the world where slavery was abolished already illegally before America, before the Civil War, it was already abolished. You know, that was one of the sticking points in the Constitution. In the Constitution, should there be slavery? It goes back from the beginning of this country, forget about the Civil War. Should there be slavery? Because already it was not accepted that it's ethical in the modern world. But the poskim, they take a very hard line that since in this world slavery is not legal, so in halacha has to acknowledge that it's impossible for one person to own another person, and therefore there's no way you can possibly make a person into a into a shifra kananis in order to be mitar. Now he has another two other things. I'll tell you one thing he presents, and I want to tell you why question, why a solution. But at the end he says, with the state of Israel, with the establishment of the state of Israel, l'chayr everything should change. Because many poskim are of the opinion that din de malchus din is only true in a secular non-Jewish government. For the first time since the Beis Hamikdash, since 2,000 years, there is a Jewish medina. Even though it's completely irreligious, not completely, but by and large, irreligious system of justice, they're Jews. There are Jews. And din de malchus din, according to many poskim, does not apply to a Jewish government. So his question is, he leaves this question at the end of the article, and he says, people say that the last 7 years, all you have to do is, you should add this to the equation, there are many loopholes, but in Israel, in the state of Israel, it's a Jewish country, you should find a non-Jew who is a citizen of the state. There are many non-Jews who are citizens in the state of Israel, and go through this procedure, convince them to should sell themselves to you, because halacha allows you to purchase another human being as a slave. It's just, it's illegal because of din de malchus hadina. The laws of din de malchus hadina do not apply in a Jewish state. So who cares what the government says? It's a sovereign state. We're not subject to international law in Eretz Yisrael. We're subject to the state of the Medina. And the Medina, we don't have to, there's no din de malchus hadina. So we ignore the legal, what did they say? We follow halacha. The woman is now my property. She goes to mikvah, to makabel the mitzvahs, and now the children will be avodim kadam. They'll be free. They'll be Jews. I don't know if they actually did it. They did. Okay, this is 20 years old. My question, okay, let's whatever. But my question is, this is my question, okay, that is the end of the article. There's a ton of stuff. It's an incredible article. My question is, I don't understand. The state is 70 years old. It's 70 years old. The religious people have a lot of clout. There's no question, even though they claim that the country is only 10% religious, 10% fully observant, but the religious sector of the state of Israel has a lot of clout in the state. Why can't the Medina pass a law that for the purpose of the Metaher Mamzerim, it should be the only country, the only place in the world where you can legally own another person? Or take advantage of it? I don't know. They take advantage to be mitahir mamzerim. To be mitahir, they should pass a law where one person is allowed to own another in limited cases, case by case basis. If a person wants to purchase another human being, so you can come to the government and the government's Jewish state, they should let this. We let you purchase another human being. You'll own that person, so that person can now be told in the mikvah to the kabbal the sheva. The mitzvahs, and now the children will be, and then you'll be able to do this. And lechatchila, you'll have children in the mitar, mamzerim can be mitar themselves. It's the only place in the world it can be done. The rest of the world it cannot be done. It's unheard of. But Israel is a Jewish country, so they're sensitive to the concept of mamzerim. So 10% of the country anyway is religious. So why can't they pass a law to make this legal, to be the first place and the only place in the world where one person can purchase another person? Others say that, look, if the law is not enforceable, so just go to one of the countries where they don't enforce the law. Africa, Saudi Arabia, just because if the law, it's one of the loopholes. Okay. Another loophole is a person, since there are many that are not here, this is a very bizarre loophole, what he should do is, he should do both. He should take a woman and say, I want you to make a tanai. I want you on the one hand to convert. I want you to make a full conversion, but stipulate, I'm only making this conversion all tonight. Whatever the, I'm only based upon the other part of the conversion. On that side, she's a Gioris. If she's a Gioris, he can marry her. The only problem is the children are going to be Mamzer. Okay, Mamzer. But it's a tonight because I want you also not to convert. I want you to sell yourself to me also. It might not be good, maybe it is good, maybe it's not good. And then the children will be Avodim Kanani. And then we'll push off the Shiloh for 20 years. So now, 20 years from now, these children will then come to the desk and say, we are of a Suffolk. Our father made, our mother made, did a gay herself tonight, but also sold herself out tonight because we don't know what the halacha is. So therefore, the child will say, I'm a Suffolk manzer, I'm a Suffolk Eved Kanani. So the Bezin will say, you go to Kula. And you presenting yourself as being a Suffolk manzer, Suffolk Kula. So now the Bezin is forced to pass it. I did nothing wrong. I went and this woman, Manushach, I'm allowed to do, the father was allowed to do this. Because you, either you're a Giyaris, and a mamzer is allowed to marry a Giyaris, the only problem is the child's a mamzer, but he's allowed to, or you're a slave, and I'm allowed to marry you. So the father did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. The child is a Suffolk. The child will present himself to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din will say, you're a Suffolk. Suffolk Lakula. You're kosher. You are in Paschal Halacha, you're kosher. It's an ingenious solution. Let the parent do this. So this is a very big, the very big dilemma of, is it ethical to do such a type of approach to Halacha? Okay.